Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let it flow out of our experience. Let it flow out of our heart and our life. Let it flow out of our voice. Praise to you. Praise to you. It belongs to you. It belongs to you, Lord. It belongs to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He is all of that and more. And he can do every one of those titles we were just singing about. Protect, provide, deliver. And he can do it in this service today. He can do it in your life now. And it's for whosoever will. It's for the believer. It's for the unbeliever. It's for the young, and it's for those that are middle-aged and older. It's for whosoever will. Let's give the Lord another praise just out of your life. Just let it flow. Just let it flow. I give you that praise, Lord. You're the deliverer. You are the protector. Yes, you are, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. His presence is so close here. His presence is so close. And that does mean anything can happen at any time. Matthew 16 and verse 18. And I say also unto you that you are Peter. But Jesus said, upon this rock, and that rock was the confession of who Peter had said that Jesus was, the Almighty God. I will build my church, and the gates of hell. In this church, APC fits in that phrase there. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, taking folks by surprise, seemingly out of nowhere, but we know where, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it did sit upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began, now they did other things also afterwards, but initially they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then in that same chapter 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul. It was a godly reverence and respect that came upon everyone that observed them. And many wonders and signs, those miracles that Jesus is able to do today, were done by the apostles. Verse 46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness, unity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. My title this morning is Apostolic Pentecostal Church. Apostolic Pentecostal Church. I'm thankful for God's church, aren't you? And you may be seated. Church names and why the name was chosen is interesting. In most cases, if not all, the names of churches were chosen intentionally to send a message and to identify or be the fingerprint of that people, to reflect what that church represented. I called a few friends or contacted them via text or call about the names of their churches and asked them if they knew why the church held the name that it did. I contacted Brother Batchelor and Bishop Tracy, and they replied, "We know that Guy Rome, who was the former pastor, founder of that church, had strong focus on new and transformed and restored lives because of new life, abundant life, through Jesus and the apostolic new birth message." I contacted Brother Graham. He said when we were making our move into Hazelwood, a name change was mandated. They had formerly been known as the Florissant Valley Apostolic Church, and that wouldn't apply in their new location. He said, "We thought about several ideas, and in my office one day at the desk, I was reading scripture when that word sanctuary just jumped off the page to me. It occurred to me that the church serves the function of providing a meeting place between God and man, and a sanctuary, our place of safety and shelter," and thus the name, the sanctuary. I contacted Brother Gleason, and he said, their name is the Life Church, by the way, and he said, "We use the definite article, the word the, or the, to express the life in and through Christ Jesus. Not just any life, but the life that comes through Christ Jesus and the power of God." He added to his answer, as only Brother Stan Gleason can, he said, "I can't wait to hear the explanation when you call up the church whose name is First Church of the Benevolent Virgin, Consecrated in Christ, Holiness Sanctified and Glorified Missionary Church." You don't want me to preach that church name. We'll be here for a couple of hours. And I have not contacted them as yet. If you know of anyone by church by that name, just call them. I contacted Brother Brian Parkey, who was the former pastor of the Cornerstone Church in Poplar Bluff and was there when the church name was selected. And he said the name Cornerstone was based on Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. "We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." In fact, that scripture is inscribed on the actual cornerstone of their present church building. His father, who was the pastor, being the W.C. Parkey that he is, went through the church directory of the United Pentecostal Church when God was laying this on his heart. There was no other church at that time by the name of Cornerstone, so he said, "That's it." And as Brother Parkey always did, he put a theme song to it, and there was a song entitled "Jesus is the Cornerstone." For us, Apostolic Pentecostal Church, we had a previous name, Jesus Name Tabernacle. In fact, when we were doing some property work in the late 80s or early 90s, I went down to City Hall, and that name was still on the plot of ground in the book of records there, the name Jesus Name Tabernacle. The name Apostolic Pentecostal Church was based on a deep desire and conviction of leadership and members of the church when that name was selected to identify one with the apostles, apostolic, the teachings and beliefs. Two, that would identify with the Pentecostal experience, apostolic Pentecostal, and then to be everything that God had in mind for a church to be. This name and identity is more than our legal and corporate name. And I come now to the focus of the message today. It is our legal corporate name registered with the state of Missouri and the United States government. But it is more than that. The name Apostolic Pentecostal Church identifies us spiritually. It is who we are and what we intend to be. It is what we believe and it is what we practice. It is our belief system, the Apostolic Pentecostal faith. It is what we practice in our worship services and ministries. And even more importantly, it is what we live and practice in our lifestyles. It is our way of life. Apostolic Pentecostal Church. The term church in our name, and it is there, and that's because this is what we are as defined by God and His Word. So when we or anybody else says we are or they are a church, what are they saying? When some think church, they think denomination or religion, or some think building only. But the literal translation of the word church used by Jesus and the apostles in Scripture holds these meanings. In other words, this is what God intends and what He's thinking when He says they are a church. That word, literally defined, is called out, or a separated group or body of people called out and selected especially for a special purpose. Now, that selection especially doesn't mean others cannot be selected. It's just that this entity called the church is a special plan in the plans of God. And whosoever will can be a part of that plan. God wants everybody, and then it's up to every individual to accept that selection by God. His church is specially selected. Now, when you think of being a part of the church, you and I should view it as being special, a specially selected people. In other words, God chose me. God chose me on purpose and with a purpose. We're called out, and what an honor to be chosen and especially selected by God. I mean, it's like being chosen by the guy that's the best baseball player that there is to be on his baseball team. I'm standing over there thinking, this guy's not going to choose me because of how good he is. But instead, he says, in grace and mercy, I'll make up for your errors. I'll cover for you when you need to be covered. But I want you on the team. Hear me, everybody in this building. I can't come down to you person to person and face to face. But I say this as personally as I can in a public venue. You have been especially selected by God for a purpose. You're not just a number in a group of people on this Sunday morning. But God has called us for a purpose. And by the way, we are selected and chosen by not just anybody. We're chosen by the head guy. We're chosen by the God of the universe. We've been blessed and favored to be a part of that plan by the Almighty God. He's saying, I want you. I want you on my team. He has called us out, and not only are we called out by somebody special, but we're called out for a special reason. God has a purpose. He has a purpose for APC corporately together to accomplish, but He also has a purpose for every individual member of this church. All of you that are seated here and others that cannot and are not here today. He has a purpose. He wanted to set aside a group of people that He could claim and love and that would love and claim Him, but He wanted a people through whom He could do His will. Now, while I'm happy and I should view it as a privilege, I also feel the weight of responsibility when I think about that thought. Because all of us, God said, I want you, I love you, but I do have a responsibility for you. You see, it's not just about having a church membership. It's about having and fulfilling a purpose of God. And that's how He has chosen us. Let me say it this way. He has special intentions for this church that He has called out. When you come into the church, those of you that are already in, and those of you who will be choosing to come into God's church, let me just tell you, it's not some happenstance. It's not just some coincidence that you receive the baptism of the Spirit, that you've connected your church to a body that believes in those truths of God. The hand of God, the great and mighty hand of God, and it's bigger than we can even imagine. God has a purpose. It wasn't just a whim. It wasn't just some religious fervor that got a hold of us. But God, who is the master schemer and counselor, had His proverbial pen and pencil out in paper. And he said, this is the plan. Here's the plan. And I want her. And I want him. And I want them. And I want him. And I want her. And I want that couple. And I want that family. And I want that purpose. You see, it wasn't just some happenstance. We are here by divine destiny. God has a mission. And we're on that mission, and not only are we on that mission, we are the mission. And we are certainly more than a building. We are more than how the world defines a church. The church is not some religious group we join. We do join. But I want to just clear away any clutter that may be here and just make it as clear as possible to make with clarity who and what we are. It's not just a religious group that we join. It's not some religious or spiritual anesthesia that helps us not to feel guilty because we do not belong to some God something. It's not that. It's not where we attend and connect because our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents were there. That is a part of it, but that is not the main reason that we are a part of God's church, nor should we view it that way. But we are a called out by God, a separated, selected group or body to whom God is saying, I love you and I want to use your life to make my impact upon this world by my spirit. If those reasons that I mentioned or others have ever been in your mind and you are attending for any other reason, I would just present to you today and call you to, there's a higher purpose than those things. I thank God for the wonderful Pentecostal heritage like many of you have. And some of us are here second and third or more generations. Some even in this very church, others from other churches before and now here. But there's got to be more than that for why we're a part of God's church. There's a higher purpose. I would also say the church is not a basket full of deplorables who are emotionally or educationally inept, who are weak-minded and dependent upon others or some emotional basis. You see, I say that because the world is pressuring believers, especially fundamental Bible believers, to feel intimidated. Please hear me now. There's a pressure out there, and you have felt it, to feel intimidated or even ashamed because of Bible values and biblical beliefs. A bishop, or a rabbi rather, by the name of Susan Lappin, wrote an article called A Rabbi's Warning to Christians. And of course, Jews have faced persecution through the years, much of it physical, but also because of their beliefs, and they're still facing it now. And so this rabbi, who I feel like is authorized as a Jewish person, to write a warning to Christian. In that warning, the rabbi says and warns us as believers, our culture, and again, I'm not saying anything you probably haven't thought about or read, but I just want to state it very plainly and clearly here today. Our society's view of Christian fundamentalism is that fervent Christianity is a threat to common lifestyle. They want you and I and any other believers to get the taste of their view toward us that we are a threat. We're like some kind of a disease that may affect or infect others. Some think America is being seriously jeopardized by Christian conservatives. Recently, the line of questioning for a nominee in a White House appointed position was laced with anti-Christian questioning and wrongful inferences. The nominee, who was a Christian man, and in some of his earlier statements had expressed, and I watched part of this, had expressed very emphatically his beliefs, not out of bounds in any way. He was asked, what do you believe? And he very affirmatively said, I believe in the centrality of Jesus Christ and his salvation. One of our U.S. senators responded to those beliefs, that statement, and here's how that senator summarized his view of a Christian, this Christian and others. He said, in summary, Mr. Chairman, I would simply say, this nominee with his beliefs is really not someone who this country is supposed to be about. We are not supposed to be about Christian values. We are not supposed to be about God and His Word. We are not supposed to be about those kind of beliefs, such as there is salvation only by Jesus Christ. This is a very well-known leader in our Senate. It may be only one voice, and there are probably some that echo that, but it gives us an idea of the view that is held toward this faith that the Bible speaks about. It's cast in the light of being questionable or cultish. Maybe you have been accused or you've heard that word. I just want to stop here, and I'll come back to this in a little bit. Don't let that send you to a cave. In many cases, Christianity is absolutely detested. It's being socially attacked and openly written about. Books are being written. I recently saw a list of some 50 to 60 book titles sounding the anti-Christian message. And it's not just books, but popular entertainment projects the most lurid and makes fun of the Christian view. There is an anti-Christian propaganda that is sown into movies and television and other and radio sources, many others that have a Christian bigotry in it. There is an anti-Christianism in America's social and economic and academic secular elites. But many committed believers would answer with the song that Brother Mike and Sister Kim used to sing, I choose to be a Christian. I choose to be like him. Nobody's making me do this. This is how I want to live. You decide for you. And I hope you'll decide the right way. But you decide for you. And I'll decide for me. The choice is mine. This is how I choose to be. That the bigotry, and I'm not up here to give us a little pity party today. I'm up here to clearly tell us again and say, there's a reason for all the things that we're hearing and some of the pressure that we are feeling to be apostolic, to be Pentecostal, and to be His church. But our answer is, I choose to be a Christian. When I was thinking about that song, I thought about Lance Appleton and his song. I'm not about to try to sing that. But he said, I'm a one God, apostolic, tongue talking, holy rolling, born again. So when we talk about this song, you can feel it a little bit. Folks say, now that's a little bit too much, Pastor, in this day that we live. Don't you know how everybody's thinking now? I do. But I also know how God's thinking. And He's still thinking this. He's still thinking apostolic values. He's still thinking Pentecostal values. And if there was anybody that said, there it is. Thank you. Hallelujah. There's anointment back there. You know, if there was anybody that really didn't care what somebody thought, it was Lance Appleton. Every once in a while, I wish there'd be a resurrection. We just bring Lance back. I remember him stomping on the platform at camp down at Westphalia. And he'd stomp so hard on that wooden floor, and it was open air, so all through the year, the tabernacle was open. He'd stomp so hard, and all that dust that had settled had started coming up. So holy smoke didn't come down, it came up. The first time Lance was introduced to a whole lot of people in churches, folks swallowed twice, probably put their hand on their forehead. But that man was as genuine as you can get. In fact, he shook a few of us preachers' cages every once in a while. But we need not be intimidated. Hear me today. I'm not saying be ugly or be crazy. But you can be apostolic and not be crazy. Now you can be apostolic and you'll be accused of it. And being bigoted and not being understandable, but being a part of God's church and identifying with the apostolic Christian belief system and His word. I want to say this loud and clear. It is not a penalty. It is a privilege. And I'm going to help anybody that feels intimidated and pressured, and you're wrestling with that penalty mentality. Not necessarily because you want to, but that will drain a person and their life for God. It will drain you. It will drain you. But if you will just square your head and your shoulders and say, by the grace of God, I am here. And that grace of God works through the apostolic doctrine, and it works through the Pentecostal experience. Look, folks, I've had them tell me, and I've had other pastors tell me, I'm not going to dumb down my service one bit. People are hungry for something that is real and genuine. If we start trying to pattern ourselves off of other churches who have toned it down and dumbed it down, we will have nothing left to be a part of God's apostolic church. I thank God for the privilege. And I know we're not perfect. I'm not preaching this because we're perfect. But as I prepared this message, I felt a hunger and a desire. I want to be more apostolic than I have ever been. I need to be more Pentecostal than I have ever been. I need to be His church more than I have ever been. But I would add to that, I'm thankful that Apostolic Pentecostal Church in St. Louis has stayed on that track. And there are many numerous reasons for that. There's a whole lot of prayers that were prayed many, many years ago, and some of them being prayed now, that is keeping us on this track that we are on. When we say we're apostolic, that first word in our name, we're saying we practice the beliefs, we align with the beliefs, our mindset and our lifestyle and our practices are those that the apostles of Jesus Christ identified with. We're identifying with the apostles. The blueprint and the model and the pattern we have for what the apostles believed is given in our Bible, specifically in the New Testament and more specifically in that book called the Book of Acts. All churches, pastors, saints, leaders, ministry leaders who desire to be apostolic and the church that God intended, go to the Book of Acts and the Word of God for our benchmark. This is what we go to. This is where we get our rules. This is where we get our guidelines. This is where we get our power and our propulsion. It is from the Word of God. If we try to craft some other structure of the world, we will end up being like whatever we are structuring ourselves after. But if we can go after the Word of God, there is still power in the Word of God. By the way, the church general, the Christian church I'm talking about, that now has splintered into many various belief directions, started on this foundation. And unfortunately, the so-called church lost the apostolic. That's why there are so many different religions and denominations today. Because in the early 4th century, the church had begun to move and then finally had moved very quickly from its founding principles. I'm going to tell you, there was a day when everything that called itself a church believes exactly what we believe today from the Book of Acts. There was a day. And just because somebody changes, that doesn't mean we have to change. Here's our guiding agent right here. Here's what is the blueprint and the model and the template for everyday life, for our families, for our church, for its ministry, and for its worship services. A truly apostolic Pentecostal church will go back to that first century Book of Acts church for its model. Religious writer by the name of Ed Stetzer. He is a non-Pentecostal, and he made sure he made that clear in the article. In just recent years, he has written two different articles. The most recent was last month, December 17th. In that article, he notes the growth of the Pentecostal movement. And he recommends, he said, to myself and to the rest of the religious world, and here is his recommendation, quote, Pentecostalism deserves our attention. It deserves our analysis, and it deserves our celebration. And perhaps for us non-Pentecostals, our willingness to learn a thing or two. One of the lessons that he suggests that religion learn from Pentecostals is to take the Word of God at face value. Here's what he said. This type of faith that is alive and expectant is powerful. There is power in this room right now because there are a couple of hundred people who believe the Word of God at face value. I'm going to tell you, as your preacher this morning, I believe this Word at face value. I don't have any yeah, but statements, okay? Yeah, but we're in the 2000s. Yeah, but people look at it differently now. We take the Word of God. There is healing in this room too. And if he said, I'm a healer, he can heal your body. And the love of God is in this room. And the Lord impressed me early on that his love wants to heal an emotional tear and an emotional wound. And he is just going to wrap you in the bandage and the salve of his love. And you are going to be so wrapped in the love of God because he wants that bleeding to stop. He wants that emotional bleeding to stop. But we won't have it if we won't take this Word at face value. But he said, I'm the Lord and I'm the healer of all of your diseases. He said, faith that takes the Word of God. Listen to this, folks. This is why we can't change who we are and what we preach. We can't change and use some other book other than the Bible. Here's what he said. He said, faith that takes the Word at face value and believers that take the Word at face value, that changes people. When you say, I still believe it the way God intended it, that is going to have an impact on somebody. Your testimony, but mainly the power of that Word. We still... And I want to speak for, I'm preaching our church name. I'm preaching who we are. I'm trying to affirm our identification today and then introduce our identification to anybody that may be here as our guest. I just want you to know we still take the Word of God at face value. And I want to throw another yeah, but in there. Yeah, but what if it doesn't happen? I'm going to tell you, if it's God's will, it will happen. Hallelujah. God's got this whole thing in control. He's not about to lose it. He's not about to drop it. I never felt so secure being apostolic Pentecostal as I feel today. I know it, and I know there's a torrent, and I know there's a culture, and I know there are winds of adversity, but greater is he that is in us and in this church than that which is in the world. Take heart, child of God. Don't be chased to a cave. Stand up and say, this is who I am. We hold the doctrines of the oneness of God. There is only one God. Monotheistic. There's only one God. Jesus Christ is that Almighty God. One reason the disciples and the apostles in that early church believed in one God and believed that Jesus was that one God is because that's exactly what Jesus taught. We still believe in the new birth gospel salvation message plan. The Bible and the apostles focused on, and I had a very sincere man call the other day, and he had a question about baptism in titles or baptism in the name of Jesus. We had a wonderful conversation, and I could tell that he was on the other side of what I personally believe as a believer and what this church stands for. But we had a very decent conversation. There's no sense smacking people upside the head with the wonderful truth of God. But neither do we back down and say, well, I want to win them, so I don't want to offend them. I'll tell you what will offend somebody on that great judgment day. Why didn't you tell me? You got to weigh out when there's going to be offense. Because the apostles said, baptize them in Jesus' name. In fact, in Acts 10, he did not suggest it. He didn't say that might be a good idea. Do it if you want to. The Bible says he commanded it. Here's the reason Peter wanted them to be baptized in Jesus' name. Because he wanted them to be saved. And he knew that could not happen unless they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. As an apostolic God-called preacher, he did not want their blood on his hands. This church still lives a separated lifestyle from the world and unto the Lord. That's why we believe what the apostles believe when it comes to holiness and godliness and separation from this world. Not only do we keep the teachings, but we keep the practices. Things like prayer. Apostolic Pentecostal Church still believes, and Brother Spall touched it with a wonderful point this morning. There are miracles and there are signs that will happen, but the Word of God is still important. We believe in preaching. We still believe in that apostolic outpouring of Acts chapter 2. Suddenly there came a sound. A sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house. There appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And I would only tack on to that, you can receive the Spirit of God this morning. Yes, I would implore you today, if you have not already repented of your sins and been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and received the infilling of the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, You must be born again. I appeal to you. I know I cannot force you. But if you want to pattern your life after what Jesus Christ taught and what the apostles taught, that is the sole reason we hold that doctrine. I will just tell you, we're a part of a wonderful organization. I wouldn't trade it for anything, United Pentecostal Church. But that was not an edict that was sent down from headquarters that says you must believe that. Every church is autonomous. We get the choice. We can choose what we believe. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to be a new birth believer. God wants to do the work. Here's something else. God wants to do the work of the miraculous. In the book of Acts and in the time of Jesus, signs followed the believer. Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. In traditional religion today, believers follow signs. But God intended for the signs to follow the believers. I don't want you to lift your hand right now. You can if you want to. I won't stop you. But I just want to ask you an inward question today for you to answer inwardly at least. Do you still believe in the miracle working power of God? It's a question worth asking ourselves. And I will quickly say we should, because the Lord has said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. There is also a miracle in the birth canal this morning of this church. And even of this service. God can still perform the miraculous. I have heard of him placing eyes and eyeballs into the sockets of people who had none. Say, wow, wow. Well, he did that. He does that in many cases while we're forming in the womb. Every once in a while, he just wants to take it from under cover and just let us know, I'm the creator. There's not a sickness in here that the Lord cannot heal. It doesn't matter if it's diabetic. It doesn't matter if it's pain in your shoulder. It doesn't matter if it's emphysema. It doesn't matter if it's cancer. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. It doesn't matter if it is a blood disease. It doesn't matter if it is a heart disease. God is able. I'm not predicting this morning when your healing is coming, but I am declaring firmly with my feet planted solid, God is your healer. He can straighten out a bone. Whoa! He can take leprosy and any other skin disease that somebody has, and he can give them cleansed, pure skin. He is a healer. And there's a lot of other kind of miracles that God wants to do. He said greater works than these can be done in this last hour. We are still a Book of Acts believing group of people. Somebody can still go to somebody that is lame and cannot walk and take them and say, silver and gold, I don't have it. But whatever I have from his word and in his name, I give that to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be ye healed. Our God is a great, great healer. And when they did many mighty miracles in the book of Acts, the scripture wraps up in verse 20 saying, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. We're going to continue to believe God's word, and we're going to see the word of God that has been disobeyed. Don't let the world's disobedience, don't let the world's distraction, don't let the world's discrediting and desecrating of the word of the Lord stop you. We are going to see that scripture fulfilled. We're going to see the word of the Lord mightily grow, and it is going to mightily prevail. Hallelujah. And we still worship God, and that's been told in this meeting already by the way folks have responded. Whew. I felt the power and the presence of the Lord as we were singing together. I can't remember which one it was. Well, I guess I felt it on all of them. But I felt one so significantly. I was thinking about asking you to sing it, but I can't remember which one it was now. God don't heal old age. Once you got it, you got it. Hallelujah. He is an awesome God. We're still a worshiping people. Some of us will worship with tears. And I just want to offer to the world, don't question somebody's worship. World, I ask you, it's not going to stop us, but I ask you, don't question our worship. Because there's only one that's worthy. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to be apostolic. We want to be Pentecostal. That means having the Pentecostal experience, the experience that happened on the day of Pentecost. That experience on that day was the experience of being filled with God's Spirit. It was the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. By the way, I'm just going to throw this in. There are some apostolic buzzwords that folks have become a little afraid of. Call it whatever you want to, Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Somebody said ghost will scare them away. Well, the ghost, if you get the right ghost, it's going to draw people to you. Now, I agree. I know you got to explain things. And we're not talking about Casper flying around the building, okay? But on the other hand, I just want to tell you, don't be afraid of the word revival. I've actually had people say to me, we probably don't want to use those terms. In other words, they were intimidated. Revival means just to bring back to life. Just to revive something that once had life and bring it back to life again. Don't be intimidated by this world. This apostolic Pentecostal experience, being filled with the Spirit of God, speaking in other tongues, as well as other evidences of spiritual power and regeneration and righteousness, peace, and joy. That is part of this new birth experience. Apostolic, Pentecostal church. Stand with me if you would, please. I'm going to invite you to come in just a moment. And for anybody, first of all, for anybody that has not experienced the reality of the Bible Apostolic Pentecostal Church experience, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and Spirit infilling, I invite you to come today. And the rest of us, I feel a call to reaffirm our Bible identity. Let me tell you, there are hungry people in God is working in the lives of hungry people. Allison Trask, along with some of our other students. Garrett started one. Some others have started a Bible club, a P7 Bible club. Now, they face challenges because it's a Bible club. And even some of them have gotten a little discouraged at times because they were trying to do what was right. But I'm going to tell you, students, you keep doing what is right. You obey the authorities. You obey your authorities. But just keep trying. Keep knocking on the door. Keep making the attempt. So Allison felt to initiate a P7 Bible club in her high school, Fox High School. There was a student that attends, and Ashley has been here. She was here just the other night, Wednesday night. I visited on a couple of occasions, and one time with her mom. Ashley had been experiencing a greater hunger. She was recently lived in Florida, had been going to church down there, and had attended a church that believed in this apostolic Pentecostal experience. I think she may have experienced it herself down there. I'm not sure. Yes, Allison says. She heard about that Bible club announcement, and that hunger that was in her life caused her to respond and come to that meeting that had been called at the particular time. And so she came to the meeting. She had not been able to attend a church up here for various reasons, but that hunger just drove her. Hunger moved her. The way it will do to hungry hearts, which is why we cannot hide what we are. I'm going to tell you, folks, God trusts us. He trusts us. So at the meeting, they're talking. She begins to tell Allison about her hunger experience. And so Allison said, told me again just this morning, she told me earlier, said, just out of habit, I just said our name, our initials, APC, as identifying what church that she belonged to, letting Ashley know. When she said those words, and she told me this again this morning, she said, Ashley's eyes just lit up. Because when she had been praying some days prior, the Lord spoke to her three letters that she did not understand. And the Lord said, APC. And she's going around thinking, why in the world did the Lord give me just part of the alphabet? Not even in order. God trusts us, folks. He trusts us that we won't lay this down. He'll trust us that we won't be something else other than apostolic and Pentecostal in His church. Here's that little girl's eyes lit up because it was like a key in the lock, and it opened a door of revelation. God was saying, I want you to be a part of that. God can work in some strange and mysterious ways. He'll do it differently. He'll do it differently. But I'm going to lay this out there to you, and I feel to speak it to every life here today. God is dealing with somebody that you're in contact with. Here's another practice we need to practice of the early disciples, and that's discipleship. Helping somebody to come into a greater relationship with Jesus Christ. There are a lot of Ashleys out there. They're going to have a lot of different experiences. But we're not going to lay what we are down. I invite anybody to come. I invite everybody to come. If you want to experience this for the first time, or if you want to identify fresh and new, you want to make sure the fingerprint of Jesus Christ, the fingerprint of His apostles, they're on whatever I teach. They're on whatever I live. They're on what I believe. They're on my values. They're on the way I lead my family. Yes. I want them on whatever I associate with. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Believe the Lord. If you need a miracle, come on. Come on right now. Come on. That's right. That's right. That's right. Be sensitive. Maybe some discipleship can happen. Maybe there's somebody that you can help right now. Go ahead and do that. Go ahead. Don't be run and shoved into a cave right now for being who you are and what you are. It's God. He selected us. It's a privilege to be in your plan, God. It's a privilege, oh Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Prayer is still a part of what we are. Yes, it is. Go ahead. Go ahead. Come on. That's it. We can't afford to play around. We can't afford to play church. We can't afford to be pretend Pentecostals or pretend apostolics. We either are or we are not. Yes, 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 yes. That's right. Go ahead. That's it. Identify, affirm. Wrap your arms around it and say, I claim it right now. I claim it right now.